Serve you at this time, and as Brother Tom Gilbert has considered his responsibilities to the Heavenly Father, he has chosen the subject of sacrificing with our hearts and with our mouths. Brother Tom.
Thank you, Brother Laddie. Dear brethren, it is a pleasure to be with you. It's only the second time in my consecrated life that I've had the privilege of being here at a New Brunswick convention. I think it's been about 11 years, and the first opportunity for my wife, so we are glad to be with you. We have about half of our small class here with Sister Marguerite Roswick being here. Paul and Joyce Lagno asked that their special love be sent to you here. Because they have so many close ties here in the class, they feel very badly that they were not able to be here with you. We thought that the topic of sacrificing with our hearts and our mouths would be a profitable one. It had been a profitable study for us personally, and we'd like to share the thoughts that came to us in it. We find as we study in the scriptures that the heart and the mouth are some of the most rebellious portions of our being, the hardest for us to control. And yet, oddly, we find also in the scriptures that the heart and the mouth can be instruments of acceptable sacrifice to the Lord. And they can be used by the new creature in serving the Lord. The heart and the mouth must be the servants of the new creature. And we'd like to examine how this is so. How the heart and our mouth, the lips, the tongue, are instruments of acceptable sacrifice. In scriptural usage, we find that the heart represents man's center of thinking and his affections. It represents his mind, his thoughts, his attitudes, his values, and his will. But the condition of the human heart is clearly described in the scriptures as being less than pleasing to God in its natural state. Let's look at Genesis 6:5, a familiar passage to us. Here we have in the time before the flood the description of man's heart. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. So man's heart has this condition of being quite evil. Another scripture, Mark 7:20-23. Mark 7:20-23. And he said, "That which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, and so on. All these evil things come from within and defile the man." So this again tells us about the condition of the natural heart of man. Excuse me, I'm going to move this. We have many other scriptures that speak of the heart and its natural condition. Psalm 12:1-2 talks about, "With flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak." So this tells us something about the condition of the human heart, the center of man's affections and his will. And we also find that in the scriptures there are many comments about the condition of our mouth and its usage. Psalm 10:7 says, "His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud. Under his tongue is mischief and vanity," or as some translations give it, wickedness. Another scripture that is familiar to us is James, the 3rd chapter, verses 5-8. James 3:5-8. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire not sure whether that's Gehenna or Hades. For every kind of beasts and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Anyway, these scriptures give us an idea of the difficulty we have with our mouth and our tongue and our lips in being pleasing to God. And we find that many times in the scriptures that there is a strong relationship drawn between our heart and our mouth. Luke 6:45, for out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. So we have these scriptures that tie the two together. Proverbs 16:23, the heart of the wise teacheth his mouth and addeth learning to his lips. So we have the heart and the mouth tied together. Well, now we said we want to consider these as instruments of sacrifice. How can this be? What do we mean by this? Well, when we consider what we usually mean when we think of sacrifice, we usually think in terms of giving up something we would normally want to do or possess in order to use the time, the money, or the possession, or the ambition, or whatever, to serve God and to help our Christian walk and growth. For instance, we think of giving up money that we might otherwise spend on ourselves for the Lord's work, perhaps contributing to witness work, or just the expenses we would have in ecclesia. And we are perfectly free, with our own free will, to spend that on ourselves, but instead we choose to use it in the Lord's service. We think of spending our time serving the brethren or attending conventions and so forth, instead of doing things that would be very wholesome but of an earthly pleasure nature. In general, I think we generally think of sacrifice as foregoing or forsaking some earthly opportunity or possession, abstaining from entering into an activity which otherwise is wholesome and good. And this is the way we usually think of sacrifice. But if we look up definitions of sacrifice, both the word in a regular English dictionary, and look up the meaning in Strong's and Young's and so forth, to see what the Greek means, primarily in the New Testament, we find that it's perhaps a bit different. If you look it up in Webster's dictionary, sacrifice is defined as the act of offering something precious to, well, in the dictionary it says deity, to God. The act of offering something precious to God. And that's as a verb, as a noun, it's something offered in sacrifice. And we find in looking up the words in Strong's and Young's Concordance, in Vine's dictionary and so forth, that it has the idea of offering up. Of offering up. Strong's defines it to take up. Young's defines it to bear up. And in Vine's it says, denotes primarily the act of offering. Now giving up or foregoing something, as we usually think of the word of sacrifice, can be offerings, but they do not represent the entire range of pleasing sacrifice or offering to God. In fact, these things which we give up, money, time, and so forth, may not be the primary things that God is desiring to receive from us. They may only be the manifestations of what God is really desiring. The common thread or idea that runs through all these definitions when you examine them is the idea of giving to God or offering to God rather than foregoing or putting aside. The main idea is offering up to God. And so I'd like to suggest that if in our mind we would substitute offering in place of the times when we see the word sacrifice, the idea of offering up rather than putting aside or foregoing, that we would have a better grasp of what it is that we should be doing as we lead a life of sacrifice. We should be leading a life of offering things to God which He desires from us. Not just concentrating on putting these earthly things aside, because those are only manifestations of what God is really desiring from us. Let's look at some examples in the scriptures that talk about sacrificing. Let's turn to Psalm 107. Psalm 107. Verses 21 and 22. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His words with works with rejoicing. Here it talks about sacrificing the sacrifices of thanksgiving. Well, what is a sacrifice of thanksgiving? We think what it's talking about here in the scripture is thankful praise and singing, or perhaps even prayers of thanksgiving. And you see, in that type of a situation, the heart and the mouth must come into play to offer that to God. The heart must be in a thankful and appreciative attitude. And then the mouth speaks forth this praise and thanksgiving to God, testifying, perhaps, of the thankfulness which we have in our heart. And so the mouth and the heart come very much to be involved in sacrificing the sacrifice of thanksgiving. I think if, as we were trying to point out, if we would substitute the idea of offering there, of offering thanksgiving, it's a little clearer than sacrificing thanksgiving. But let them offer the offering of thanksgiving unto God and declare His works with rejoicing. There's another scripture in Psalm 116 that speaks of the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Psalm 116, 17. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and will call upon the name of the Lord. Here again, this idea of sacrifice of thanksgiving. It's really an offering. I will offer the offering of thanksgiving. And this, again, thankful praise, singing, prayer, thanksgiving given in prayer. The heart must be in a thankful and appreciative attitude. And the mouth, again, speaking forth either silently in prayer or verbally among others in a testimony, this thankfulness that is in the heart. It's something offered up to God. We don't put aside thankfulness or forgo it. It's not anything earthly that we can set aside. It's something that comes out of the new spirit nature begotten within us, a thankfulness which is offered to God to be acceptable to Him. We have a New Testament scripture which also speaks of sacrifice of thanksgiving and praise in Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13, verse 15. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. Here it speaks of the sacrifice of praise, offering this sacrifice of praise. Again, it's an offering unto God. And here it even explains what it is. That is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. Our heart also comes into play, as we mentioned. It has to have the proper attitude of thankfulness, of appreciation for all that the Lord has done for us, so that out of that heart, out of that abundance of thanksgiving in our heart, the mouth can speak forth this praise and thanksgiving, however it might be manifested through prayer, praise, testimony, singing, or whatever. And so we can see that this is one of the things in the scriptures which can be offered to God and is acceptable to Him. and we use, it comes out of the heart through the mouth. We also have scriptures that talk about the sacrifice of joy. Psalm 27, verse 6. Psalm 27, verse 6. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Well, if we think in terms of a general idea of sacrifice, of setting something aside, it doesn't make a lot of sense. If we think of it as offering to God, here it's offering the joy that is in our heart. If we check other translations on this passage, it says, the New American Standard Bible says, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices of shouts of joy. Rotherham says, triumphant joy. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. And if you look up the word there translated joy, you find that its meaning is clamor or acclamation or a battle cry. But here in the context here, it's talking about the joy that's expressed after being lifted up above the enemies who were encompassing round about. And so this joy was expressed out of the heart and offered up to the Heavenly Father. And this is something that is a pleasing offering to him. I'd like to examine another one, another passage, Psalm 51:17. Psalm 51:17. We'll read the 16th verse also. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Again, what would be the thought of us, the sacrifice of a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart? That's something we can lay aside. Again, it's this thought of offering to God a broken spirit, a broken, contrite, humbled heart. It's interesting if you look up the words translated broken and contrite. Broken comes from a Hebrew word which means to burst. And contrite comes from a Hebrew word which Strong defines as collapse. Almost the opposite. One burst, the other is collapse. Young translates that, or gives a meaning for that word, of to be bruised. I think when we consider what this text means, what it's really talking about is offering to God a humbled inner person. That our inner person is humble and submissive to his will, to his commandments, to his guidance through his word. It is bowed down to his will and submissive. It's devoid of pride and self-will, and therefore is teachable. Capable also of being sympathetic and touched with sensitivity to the feelings of others, the needs of others, and to the Heavenly Father's will. So we think that this is the thought of the Scripture, that what God really would like us to offer to him is this humble heart attitude in submission and service to him. It's not something that we sacrifice, we lay aside. It's an offering to our Heavenly Father. This is what he desires from us. Even the preceding verse says, I'm not so interested in burnt offerings, things of an earthly nature. God desires our heart given to him, offered to him. There's one other scripture we'd like to examine. On this idea of sacrifice or offering with our heart. Hebrews, the 13th chapter again, the verse that followed the one we had previously commented on. Hebrews 13, verse 16. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Scripture tells us that communicating and doing good, God is very pleased with that. Again, it's an offering unto Him. What was this scripture talking about? Well, actually, if you look at different translations, you find a variety of thoughts on this passage that vary quite widely. But the literal meaning of doing good is simply well-doing. It's just the way it's translated there, and it can have a wide variety of meanings. It can even have the thought of giving to others according to temporal needs. Or beneficence is one of the definitions that has been given in Strong's. But it literally means well-doing. So it could involve performing acts of kindness or helping in many ways our brethren or others around us. The communicate is the Greek word koinonia, which is in other places translated fellowship or communion. And it has this idea of participation with sharing. And it would here be in the context of primarily of this sharing, this participation with our brethren, the idea which we have of fellowship. And it says here that God is well pleased with this. Again, only because we think of it as an offering to God is He pleased to receive it. It doesn't carry this idea of sacrifice. It's an offering. And this is why we made the point, if we, in our minds, would try and substitute this idea of offering where we read sacrifice, I think we'll have a broader perspective of what it is that God is desiring from us, these offerings of praise and thanksgiving, of a humbled heart, broken spirit, of joy, and of doing good and fellowshipping. These are things that come out of our heart, what is in our heart, and expressed, in many cases, through the mouth. Well, we've talked about these kind of in an abstract sense. What do they mean in practical terms? Well, I think we can find several scriptures that would illustrate each one of these. If we consider the first one, the offering of thanksgiving and praise, Philippians 4:16 would give us an idea of how this can be given and offered. Philippians 4:16. Excuse me, 4:6. 4:6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. Here, through prayer, we can offer to God thanksgiving for the things that He has done for us, the truth which He has opened our minds to, for the sacrifice of His Son on our behalf. There are many things which we have to be thankful to, and we can express this. We can offer the offering of thanksgiving to God through prayer. Ephesians 5:19 and 20 gives us another example. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God, even the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here, through song and singing and speaking with one another, we can offer thanksgiving, express thanksgiving and praise to God for the things that He has done for us. And lastly, as an example, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Everything we do should be done in an added heart attitude of thankfulness for all the privileges that we have from the Heavenly Father. The privilege of coming to convention, how thankful we should be. And I try and remember frequently to thank the Lord that I have a dependable automobile so that we can go and meet with a brother. And sometimes we take those things for granted. But those little things which the Lord has overruled that we would have, so we can meet together, we have places to assemble and so forth. In everything, we can give thanks for the overruling on our behalf and for our spiritual benefit. Well, how about joy? How can we offer the offering of joy? Romans 15:13 speaks of this. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so here it talks about the joy and the contentment we have in our heart, considering God's wonderful plan. The things that we have been given a belief and an understanding in brings this joy. And we should manifest that joy in our hearts as an offering to God in thanksgiving for what he has given us in understanding his word. Philippians 1:4. Or 3 and 4. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy. So here's talking about the joy in prayer, the joy of having this privilege of communicating with the Heavenly Father and remembering our brethren and their needs and bringing requests to the Heavenly Father on their behalf. And we should rejoice in this privilege. Another type of joy is mentioned in the book of James. I believe it's chapter 1, verse 2. Yes. James 1:2. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And so we should have joy in our hearts when we experience these temptations and trials. Why? Because it's working to our spiritual growth. And in having these experiences overruled for our spiritual growth, we should be joyful and thankful to the Heavenly Father for this. And with that, our heart then be offering those things to him of joy and thanksgiving. Now, how about a broken spirit and a contrite heart? We might look at James 4. James 4, verses 6, 7, and 10. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. So if we develop this humility of heart, and that this heart attitude pervades all of our being, we have this to offer to God of a submissive heart and humble, devoid of the pride and self-will, which is not pleasing to him. First Peter 2:13-15 talks about submitting yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. There's a different kind of submission, perhaps, but it's for the Lord's sake. So it's the idea of submitting to the regulations and so forth of human government so as not to bring reproach upon the Lord by our conduct. And I think some of the fellowship that we had last night, these types of things are brought to mind, that sometimes in our liberties that we claim, in the eyes of others who are not familiar with our fellowship, we sometimes might bring reproach. And perhaps not appear reverent or conforming to things which are considered proper. And we would want to do all that would be proper before the Lord and also in the eyes of others, that the ministry not be blamed. And so here, this perhaps is one thing. We should be respectful of those human requirements that are upon us so that we don't bring reproach upon the Lord. It's another type of submission. If we could even consider Philippians 2, 5 to 8, we'll just reference it briefly. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And we know the humility which he had as a part of his character. So this would be another example. If we can maintain and develop this heart attitude of humility, it's something which we are offering to the Heavenly Father, which is pleasing to him. And lastly, we would consider doing good and sharing or fellowshipping. We read Ephesians 5:19, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. This is one aspect, this fellowshipping together with our brethren, to share our experiences with them through testimony and one-to-one fellowship, sharing study results as we've inquired into God's Word. These are things that we can do. And we can also be hospitable, as many here are for the convention, and we appreciate the hospitality, doing good and sharing with the brethren. Ephesians 4, 15, 25, and 29 is another one that speaks of our fellowship together. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbors, for we are members one of another. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. So this is the purpose of our fellowship. And we should fellowship in an attitude that this is pleasing to God. The scripture tells us that we read. It's pleasing to God. And so we should do so as an offering to bless our brethren and be pleasing in his sight. We should also be sharing this gospel message with others outside of our fellowship. And that is another way in which we can share our fellowship with others, the glad tidings which we have received, which Brother Tony was just speaking of. Philippians 1:27 is a passage, I think, that speaks of our need and importance and value of fellowshipping with our brethren. Philippians 1:27. Only let your conversation, actually the Greek there means conduct, only let your conduct be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And this is a purpose of our fellowship, to strengthen each other in our understanding and in the confidence which we have in God's word and his plan and provisions for us through our fellowship. And this way we assist our brother as he or she walks in the narrow way with us. So we hope that this provides some examples of what it is that the scriptures are talking about as far as offering these things to God. How do we summarize these? What do they require on our part? Well, except perhaps for the last one, the doing good and sharing, which might include some giving of our temporal substance to help others who have need. The others, thanksgiving, praise, joy, broken spirit, and contrite heart. They don't have anything to do, really, with temporal goods or opportunities at all. Well, why not? If these are the sacrifices God wants, why don't they involve those? Well, you know, if you consider it, the Lord really doesn't need my temporal goods. He doesn't need my time, really. Because the cattle on a thousand hills is the Lord's. And he can find someone else's time, even out in the world, to accomplish his purposes. He doesn't really need that. Now, before I go too far, I'm not saying that we shouldn't be giving of our temporal substance and the opportunities we have of our time and so forth to use those in service of the Lord. But the point is that these are not the primary offerings which he's looking for, or sacrifices. I like to think that these two words, really, the way they're used, are interchangeable. Sacrifice means an offering to God. And what he really desires from us is a submissive, humbled heart, joy and thanksgiving from our lips, and the doing good to others, fellowshipping. These are things which he desires to see from those whom he has begotten by his Holy Spirit. He doesn't need my skills and talents to be up here speaking. He could get someone else. But he would like to have us, through our heart, offering these things to him. And then what we do is a manifestation simply of what is in our heart. He wants us to offer sacrifices with our hearts to him, and what flows out of our heart through our mouth. He wants your heart and mine wholly devoted to him. These offerings that we've mentioned have to do with our spiritual relationship to God. They're based in spirit-mindedness. And these are the things which are precious to God. Now, in the few minutes that we have, and we have just a few, we want to consider one other scripture very briefly. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. I'm going to read it from the King James. Ye also, as lively stones or living stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Now, I'm sure we're all aware of what Brother Russell has frequently commented on this scripture regarding the word spiritual before sacrifice. Second volume, page 208, has this footnote. The word spiritual before sacrifice in this text is omitted in the oldest Greek manuscript, the Sinaitic. The correctness of this omission is evident when we reflect that not spiritual things are sacrificed, but earthly or human privileges, rights, and so forth. I just want to briefly comment that, taking the viewpoint of Brother Russell from which he is speaking, I agree with his thought 100%. Of course, we do not give up or forego spiritual privileges. We are called to sacrifice or give up, forego earthly ambitions, privileges, and so forth. But we'd like to suggest that this is not what that verse is talking about. What this verse is talking about is the things that we have just been talking about, of offerings from within the spirit nature which has been begotten within us. The offering of praise, thanksgiving, joy, fellowshipping. These are what that verse is talking about. They are pleasing to God, and these are things which we offer up on the golden incense altar to him as a pleasing sacrifice. They involve a thankful, devoted, and submissive heart, and verbal expressions based upon that. Now, the testimony of all Greek manuscripts, save the Sinaitic, would tell us that that is an authentic word. And you'll find that in every translation you check, that because of the overwhelming evidence for that word being there, that all translations include it. Now, I just wanted to briefly mention that. Let no one conclude, please, from these brief remarks that I've just made on this passage, that the purpose of this talk was to try and prove Brother Russell wrong on a particular point, which I believe is very minor. That's what you're concluding, then you've missed the point of the talk. The purpose of the talk was to try and help us broaden our understanding of what is a pleasing offering or sacrifice. Use the two interchangeably. A pleasing sacrifice to God, and not only that, but that which is primarily desired from him. But we felt that dealing with the subject, we would be incomplete if we did not mention this comment on 1 Peter 2:5. So in closing, we want to emphasize that keeping our hearts and our mouths in acceptable condition is very important, because it is through these that we can offer pleasing sacrifices or offerings to the Heavenly Father. God is not so interested in what we can lay down of temporal substance, but the heart and the mouth being in a condition which is pleasing to him, and then these others manifest. Give your closing scripture, Romans 10, 9 to 11, tells us how essential our heart is and our mouth to salvation. Look it up and read it after the talk. May the Lord add his blessing and forgive anything said out of harmony with his word and his will.
Thank you, Brother Tom. My son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. Brother Ken has reminded me that I was supposed to tell you.
Loving and gracious Heavenly Father, we bow before Thee with thankful hearts for all that Thou hast given us. We pray that Thou would guide and direct us as we continue to walk in the narrow way, and that Thou would help us to have in our hearts the proper heart attitudes which make us acceptable to Thee, and that out of the abundance of our heart we would speak forth praise and thanksgiving and joy and share it with others around us who perhaps do not know Thee, as we have been given the privilege to know Thee. But ask Thee to be with us in our time of fellowship now over the noonday meal. Bless it to our youth that we might continue to live lives that are pleasing and glorifying to Thee. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.